What a wonderful, wonderful song and song service. And I'm so thankful for those who are leading us in that. Now, I've said before and I'll say again that I am not a prophet and I'm not the son of a prophet. But as I pulled into your parking lot this day, and there were about, six, seven, eight cars here, and the lot was empty, and yet in my heart, this came to my mind. The day's coming when this parking lot is going to be filled to overflowing. I personally believe that we're going to see revival at the end of this difficult time. There will be in many hearts the desire to always be with the family of God, always be together with those who are worshiping Jesus Christ. And I don't know the timing, but I believe that things are indeed going to be changing. I'm glad to be with you today. I started 2 weeks ago what I thought would be a two-part series on supernatural living. And if you have a Bible, find again that passage in Colossians chapter 1. And I looked at a prayer that Paul prayed for the Christians in Colossae. And in that marvelous prayer, I found five prayers that could be prayed, and I hope that many of you are indeed praying those prayers. I'm going to read again from chapter 1, and I'm going to read in a little bit from what Paul had to say, starting down with about verse number 9. But I'm going to go a little farther, and I'll tell you why. Because I ended last week with a reminder that we are called to live with joy. We're called to live with joy. And having said that, I thought in my own heart, there are going to be people who are going to say, why should I have any joy? Why should there be any thanksgiving in my life with all that's going on? How can I have joy? I want to address that perhaps this week and next week as well. If you will, please, we're going to read from that first chapter. I'm going to start with verse 9. Here's what Paul said. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. May God add a rich blessing to this reading of His Word. Now, last 2 weeks, I shared these prayers with you. Lord, help us know what to do. That was a prayer for discernment, comes from that text. Lord, help us do what we know. That was a prayer, Father, a prayer of discipline, that we would do what we know to do. Thirdly, Lord, help us do it with the power you provide. That's the prayer of dependence. And then, Lord, help us keep doing it. Oh, that's so important. And that's the prayer of determination. And finally, Lord, help us do it with joy. And that's the prayer for delight. And that, I believe, is a prayer. Five prayers, if you will, that can be prayed and God delights to answer. And it moves you from the natural to the supernatural in your life. And it gives you a testimony to the watching world. But I come back to the question, how can we have joy? How can we have joy? As I sat beside my beautiful wife yesterday evening for our prayer time, she sobbed her way through that prayer because of the burden she had for people who were dying. The burden that she had for doctors and nurses and all medical personnel. You say, well, did you have joy? Listen, joy can coexist with pain and suffering and sorrow. Happiness is a cistern, and it can break and there'll be nothing there. But joy is a deep well into an inexhaustible source, and that's God's goodness. I want to talk to you about joy. I want to talk to you about joy from this text. So keep that open, if you will. Now, let me say a word for the children that may be listening. If you are a note taker today, and I'd love it if you were, then I would say you could just put this at the top of your sheet. God's great gifts. Just write that down. God's great gifts. By the way, those of you that are a little older, you can do the same as well. Because here is the heart of the message today. And it is simply this: God's great gifts bring great joy. You got to get hold of that. God's great gifts bring great joy. And if there was ever a time that the people of God ought to be able to exhibit and exude that joy, it's now. Again, this is no Pollyanna, nothing hurts me kind of faith at all. It understands that this joy coexists with tears and with sorrow, but it's still there because, listen, the gifts of God are always there. So all we're going to do today is unpack part of this because I want to talk to you about God's great gifts. I'm looking back at the text for just a moment, and I would encourage you to do that as well. And I want to invite your attention to verse number 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Listen to that. God who has qualified us. I looked at some alternate translations. The New Century Version says, He has made you able. Another translation says, He has enabled us. Another one said, made you competent. But here's one that I liked. Has made you fit. Now, I've got to tell you something. There is no one fit for the kingdom of God. There is no one that can say, I deserve heaven. I deserve that inheritance of the saints in the life. I can get to heaven on my own merits. That's not true. Friend, the joy comes when we understand that the great gifts of God bring us joy. And the first one, number one, write it down, is the great gift of grace. The unmerited favor of God. God doing for me, God doing for you, what you could never do for yourself. I cannot make myself fit. I can't be smart enough. I can't work hard enough. I can't do enough. That is a trap of the enemy. But rather, I must learn that there is grace for sinners like me. The grace of God. What a great gift that is. I've heard it said, and I personally believe it's true. Christianity is unique among the world's faiths. Someone has said it like this: every other religion on the face of the earth can be characterized by this word, D-O-N. D-O, do. I'm getting ahead of myself. Do. In other words, you do this, you do that. You follow this path, you follow that path. You behave in a certain way. You're kind. You don't curse. Whatever it may be. And then you qualify. Christianity is spelled differently. It's spelled D-O-N-E. It's already done. It's already done. Jesus Christ paid for our sins at the cross of Calvary. And because of that, He offers to us salvation as a free gift. So Paul would say that we are saved by grace and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. How do you qualify? How do you qualify for heaven? How do you qualify for that inheritance of the saints in the light? And the answer is you don't. Jesus qualifies you. Race car drivers have to qualify. Runners have to qualify. And if you're not careful, you can be disqualified. qualified. Even Paul, the great apostle, Paul said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I hate that word. Disqualified. But in Jesus Christ, I have been qualified. It is by the grace of God and the grace alone. Nobody has to qualify, because in Christ we are qualified. We are made fit for the kingdom of God. It is the great gift of God that brings great joy, and it's the gift of grace. Oh, I don't think there's a song about grace, Derek, that I don't love. I love all of those songs about grace because they speak to a deep place in my heart and my life and my ministry. I stand before you today by grace, and by grace alone. My salvation is through faith in Christ alone, by grace alone, plus nothing, nothing. I cannot add anything to the finished work of Jesus Christ. God's great gifts bring great joy. What are His great gifts? Gift number one, the great gift of grace. We go back to our text and look at this, because it's so very good. In that text, it says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Let me tell you something. When I was a small boy, I was known because I was afraid of the dark. I was a scaredy cat, they called me back then. I always said it's because I was the baby in the family and everybody in my family could whip me. I don't think that necessarily that was it, but that's my excuse. But I really was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of what might be in the dark. And so my grandpa, Elmer Keithley, would, when I would go to visit him and my grandma Mabel, Grandpa Elmer would give me a dime to run around the house in the dark at night. And then that grandpa of mine would turn the lights out. Oh, I'd come in the house and I'd come in crying, and I would say to Grandma, Grandma, would you hold my hand? See, I was afraid of the dark. And I will tell you, in a spiritual sense, I'm still afraid of the dark in that way, because darkness spiritually is a horrible, horrible thing. And here's what Paul is saying. He is saying that we have been delivered from the domain of darkness. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. So if the first gift that we have, the first great gift, is the great gift of grace, the second one is this. It's the great gift of deliverance. Oh, the great gift of deliverance. Many of you will remember this. Many of you will remember on that day in August of 2010, 33 Chilean miners were trapped 2,300 feet underground and 3 miles from the mine's entrance. Oh, we watched that. And I thought about the darkness that was there. 2,300 feet beneath the surface, 3 miles from the mine's entrance. And we watched it for 68 days. And then, on the 69th day, they came up and they were delivered from that darkness. And oh, the whole world rejoiced because they had been brought out of darkness into light. Can I tell you, when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, the light came on. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, the light of Jesus Christ shone in my life. Not a physical light. No, a spiritual light. And I could see what I had not been able to see. That is the power of deliverance. The Father has delivered us. I learned a song years ago that nails this particular gift down. Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and hopeless within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under His wings. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched, needed and poor now can sing. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. What a gift it is when we are delivered from the domain of darkness. I was bound in chains of darkness, and Jesus Christ delivered me. Now remember what I'm saying today. I'm answering the question, how can I have joy in this messed up, mixed up circumstances that we are in? How can I have joy? And I think the answer is found in this word, God's great gifts give great joy. God's great gifts give and bring great joy. And the first gift was the gift of grace, and the second gift was the gift of deliverance. And that brings me to the third one today, and we go back to the text for it. Listen to this. Not only in verse 13 has he delivered us from the power of darkness, but he has what? Conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He has transferred us out of one kingdom called the kingdom of darkness into another kingdom called the kingdom of the Son of His love. That is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And here's what God did for me on the 17th day of August in the year 1961. I was 12 years old, and I had had conviction from the Holy Spirit on my life for 3 years. 3 years, knowing that something was wrong, knowing that I needed Jesus Christ in my life, knowing that I needed a Savior, knowing that without Him there was truly hell ahead. But on that day in August of 1961, I heard the gospel message again. And I came and I knelt before God. And I asked Him to forgive me of my sin. And I asked Him to come into my heart. And I asked Him to give me new life, eternal life. And I believe that He did. And I want to tell you something. I believe in my heart that He will do that for anyone in the world. And I am encouraging you. I'm encouraging you. Look at your life and ask yourself, are you still living in the domain of darkness? Are you still living in the land of darkness? Or have you been transferred, conveyed into a different kingdom, the kingdom of God's Son, Jesus Christ? Oh, what a blessing it is and what a gift it is. You see, I am a citizen of the United States of America. And by the way, I stand before you and I am proud and glad to be an American. And I've been watching the videos from around the country where people are saluting the flag, where they are pledging allegiance to the flag, and I applaud that. I really do. I'm thankful for that. I'm a citizen of a great country. But I will tell you, you're looking at a man excited by the fact that my citizenship is now in heaven. It is already there. I'm already in the kingdom. I have had a transfer. I've had a change of address from the world that we live in into the world to come. Listen, the great gift here is the great gift of citizenship in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. My name is written down in heaven. Bible talks about that. There is a Lamb's Book of Life, and the Lamb is Jesus Christ, who died for my sins and rose from the dead. And I am listed in that book, in the book of the living, in the book of those who are part of that kingdom. And I will tell you with all of my heart, I am so glad, because the kingdoms of this world will perish. It's just a matter of when. But the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, will never perish. I don't even begin to be able to tell you how much joy it gives me to know that I have received the great gift of citizenship in the kingdom of God. And my name is there. Here's the reality, my friend, that everyone who hears the gospel and puts their faith in Christ alone can know that their name is now entered into the book of life. And someday, you will be with Jesus forever and ever. So I stand before you today, and I have what Dr. Tony Evans would call a responsible concern for what's going on. I really do. But I do not live with what he called irrational fear. Not going to do that. Because I know how this story ends. I don't know when things will change. They will change. But I know this, that when this story on this plane is over, I'm part of a bigger story than that. And someday, I'll be with Jesus. I have received the great gift of God's grace. And I am absolutely and gloriously glad. I have received the great gift of deliverance from the domain of darkness. And for that, I am grateful. And finally, today, I've received the great gift of citizenship in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. God has given all His children great gifts, and God's great gifts bring great joy. So today, I would encourage you, don't spend the next 24 hours, don't spend the next 12 hours, don't spend the next 10 hours, 5 hours, thinking only about the things that are wrong. Rather, rejoice in what's already right and what is soon coming. Let me pray with you. Well, Lord, first of all, what I have shared is deep in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. By your grace, for your glory, I thank you for the joy. And Father, I want to pray for everyone under the sound of my voice who is dealing with fear. And Father, help all of us to know there is a right to be responsibly concerned, but we must not be governed by irrational fear. So, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ and perhaps somebody watching that's not yet part of the family of God. And, Father, I pray that you'll help, that you will help. And I pray, Father, for those that are sick, I pray for them to be well. And I pray, Father, for those who are bereaved, that they would find comfort in Christ. And Father, I am still praying that you would speak the word and stop the virus. I'm praying for that. And whatever means you may choose to use, I pray for that. And I pray for the healthcare workers. And I pray, Father, for everyone that's being touched by this. And truthfully, that's all of us now. And I pray for those like my sweet mother-in-law who are in assisted living or nursing facilities. I pray for them, Lord, and I pray for protection upon them and help for them and all the equipment that they need. And I pray for the hot spots in New York or in Michigan or in Louisiana or wherever it may be, and the folks in Italy. Oh, how my heart breaks there. But, oh, Father God, like Jehoshaphat of old, I say, Lord, we don't know what to do and we have no power, but our eyes are on you. And Father, I ask you to add a good measure of joy to your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.